Jesus can come to bring me salvation, lifted me up from sorrow and shame. Now I belong to Him. Now I belong to Jesus. Jesus belongs to me. Now for the years I'm alone, but for eternity, joy floods my soul for Jesus has saved me, freed me from sin that long had enslaved me. His precious blood He came to redeem. Now I belong to Him. Now I belong to Jesus. Jesus belongs to me. Not for the years of time alone, but for eternity.
In worship on the Amen. That was beautiful. Both songs, but that last one there, the words, amazing. It's just so beautiful. Thank you, sisters. If you can kneel, we're going to start with prayer. Dear Lord, dear Heavenly Father, we lift up our souls to you. We trust you. Let us not be taken by the enemy of souls. Let those that wait on you never be taken. And show us your ways, Father. Bless us where we need to be blessed. Open our eyes and forgive us when we sin. Thank you for the changing of the showbread on this Sabbath and every Sabbath. And thank you for blessing the words that are going to go forth today so they can be planted deep in the fertile soil of the heart. And in the name of your Son, our King and our Savior, we pray to the best of our ability. In Jesus' name, amen.
Sabbath blessings, dear brothers and sisters. I come here today to share the word with you, and I pray that each and every one of you are blessed by it. Now, this is part three of Back to Eden, and in the first part and second part, we have seen where Adam and Eve have fallen, and we go to the Israelites in the wilderness, and they have failed in many things. And if either one of you guys were not able to get that, it is on www.okcsdrmedia.org. Part one and part two are. So if you like, just please visit the website and you may have that information. As we continue, I would just like to mention that it's not all bad. You know, in the next couple parts, we're going to actually see where some faith has been mustered of the Lord and his good faith, and people have conquered. We read in 1 Kings 17, verses 10 to 16. So he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, "Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel, that I may drink." And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, "Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand." And she said, "As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but an handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it in my son, that we may eat it and die." And Elijah said unto her, "Fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me therefore a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth." And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah. And she and he in her house did eat many days, and the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord which he spake by Elijah. Brothers and sisters, you know, earlier in the chapter, we know that Israel is very wicked. Okay, and Elijah had prayed that the Lord would not send rain upon the earth. So there was a severe drought, okay, severe drought going on. In order to protect Elijah, the Lord had sent him to this woman, okay, to provide shelter for him because he was being hunted. In this severely poor home, and the famine being unmerciful, and the little that she had left, this woman, this widow, to eat seeming to fail, Elijah then came in the very day when this widow feared that her life may not last much longer. You know, her faith was tested to the breaking point in the power that if the living God to provide for her necessities would be true, would be real. But she had faith, brothers and sisters. But even despite all this, the roughest time of her life, she showed that faith by agreeing with the request of a stranger who was asking her to share the last bit of food that she had with him. Okay? And the last bit of food that her child had as well. And in response to that Elijah's request for food and drink, the widow had said, "As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse, and behold, I am gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die." Elijah said to her, "Fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me therefore a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make thee and thy son." With the request of a stranger who was asking her to share the last bit of food that she had with him. Okay, in response to Elijah's request for food and drink, we know that she said, "As the Lord God liveth," that she doesn't have any food, except what a little bit is left. Okay, she doesn't have a cake. He's asking her to make this. So her faith is being tested, brothers and sisters. There could not have been a greater test of faith than what was being asked of her. This widow had treated all the strangers that had come to her with the kindness and generosity that the Lord promised Elijah would be given to him if he went to this woman. So despite the suffering that she and her son could endure, she trusted in the God of Israel to supply her every need. She met the supreme test by doing according to what Elijah had asked her. You know, how great was this hospitality shown to God's dear prophet? She and he did eat many days, as we see it says. The meal did not waste. The cruse and oil did not fail according to the mighty word of the Lord which he had his prophet speak. Okay? Now, is this faith that she manifested, is it going to be rewarded not only in food, you know, the continuing on of her life in the temporal matters of food, is it going to continue? Is her faith going to be blessed with something else that she might need? We see in 1 Kings 17:22-24. "And the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came into him again, and he revived. And Elijah took the child and brought him down out of the chamber into the house and delivered him unto his mother. And Elijah said, See, thy son liveth. And the woman said to Elijah, Now by this I know thou art a man of God, and that the word of the Lord in thy mouth is true." Brothers and sisters, the widow of Zarephath shared her morsel with Elijah. She shared that little bit she had left, okay? She trusted in the Lord that it would not fail, okay? She put her self-indulgence, which wouldn't even be indulgence because there was very little left, but she put her own need behind to give to a man that she didn't even know. But she trusted what this man was saying. She trusted the God of heaven. And in return, her life and that of her son were preserved. And to all who in time of trial and want give sympathy and assistance to others more needy, God has promised a great blessing. He has not changed. His power is no less now than in the days of Elijah. Her son lived because of his faith that she had manifested. He blessed her with that. And as we see in John 15:13, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." Brothers and sisters, we have friends, and it might be easy to lie down our lives, but how much more for a stranger that we don't even know? So see, we're to treat everybody as friends, even our enemies. We have to love them and show kindness to them when we can, okay? Now, I want to continue on and share, because like I said, the first two parts has been about failure for the most part. And I just praise the Lord that we actually have witnesses of people that did have that faith and did not indulge in the appetite and showed trust in him, and we're blessed for that. I'm thankful that we have this as a guide for us. So we're going to read, we're going to go into the Daniel, we're going to see if there's another person or persons that showed this same kind of faith in the Lord, and maybe it manifested in different ways, but it always manifests in blessing for him and for others around him, including us. You know, we're blessed by what these people have shown us faith. You know, we are being repaid by their blessings too. You know, we're learning the truth through this. We see in Daniel 1:1, "In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem and besieged it." Okay, Daniel 1:3-6, "And the king spake unto Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuchs, and he said, Bring certain of the children of Israel and of the king's seed and of the princes in knowledge and understanding science, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace," okay, "in whom they might teach the learning in the tongue of the Chaldeans. And the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat and of the wine which he had drank. So so nourishing them 3 years, that at the end thereof they might stand before the king. Now among these were the children of Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Okay? First, I want to say Daniel's parents, as well as these other men's parents, had trained them since childhood in temperance. Okay? Strict temperance, especially in regard to appetite. Okay? These men have been brought from a land of captivity, and were now being tested or being presented with what we would call king's meat, what we call deep, rich foods. Okay, we see these men have been brought to a pagan land, okay? And he wants the best, that's Nebuchadnezzar, the pagan king, wants the best in knowledge and understanding of everything from these places that they conquered, okay? We obviously see right now that Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah have already been walking with the Lord, okay? Or they wouldn't have been requested of this. They wouldn't have had this understanding and this knowledge. Now, granted, the pagan king wants to turn into something else. He doesn't want to worship the Creator God. He wants to turn these men into pagan idolaters. But we'll read on and see what has happened, okay? Now, if we continue to go through this, are we going to see where did Daniel accept this offer? Did these men accept this offer to eat of this king's meat and to drink of this wine? Daniel 1, verse 8 to 10. But Daniel proposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he had requested of the prince of Enoch that he might not defile himself. Now God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of Enoch. And the prince of Enoch said unto Daniel, I fear my lord the king, who hath appointed your meat and your drink, for why should he see your faces worse liking than the children which are of your sort? Then shall ye make me endanger my head to the king. Okay? So we already see that the prince of Enoch, he feared the king. Okay? He didn't fear the living God, he feared the king. And he was thinking that their faces were going to be worse because they wouldn't eat this meat and drink this wine, that they were going to be somehow unhealthier than these other people who do these things. And we hear the same stuff today, brothers and sisters. You know, that we're going to die if we don't eat meat, that we're going to be all just weak and feeble. But that's not true. Now, as we continue to read, you know, we see that Daniel has asked to be, you know, taken away from this, okay? That he didn't want to eat this stuff. He didn't want to defile himself with it. So, is God going to grant his request through men, because he wants to not defile the Lord? So God is going to actually provide a way for him to be able to show these men that the living God has a better way? Daniel 1, verses 12 to 17. Prove thy service, I beseech thee, 10 days, and let them give us pulse to eat and water to drink. Then let our countenances be looked upon before thee, and the countenance of the children that eat of the portion of the king's meat. And as thou seest, deal with thy servants. So he consented to them in this matter, and proved them 10 days. And at the end of 10 days, did their countenances appear fairer and fatter and flesh than all the children which did eat the portion of the king's meat. Thus Melzar took away the portion of their meat and the wine that they should drink, and gave them pulse. As for these 4 children, God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom. And Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. Brothers and sisters, pulse is vegetation, fruits and vegetables, okay? That's what pulse is. The exact opposite of flesh, okay? Now we see that even God, they're being described as children, these 4 children, okay? So we're expected to know these things from the very beginning. And our parents out there, we're expected to teach our kids these things from the very beginning. Okay. One of the greatest servants of God to ever live knew as a child not to defile his body. Okay? Knew not to eat of these things that we typically indulge in every single day, whoever we may be. Okay? At the very beginning of their captivity came the decisive test of their character. It was provided, told them that they should eat of that food and drink of the wine that came from the king's table. The king, he had thought to bestow some kind of favor upon them for this. You know, as the world thinks that they feel sorry for us if we don't eat meat, or we don't eat the way the world does because somehow we're missing something. So the king thought that he was giving them favor by this, but knowing that a portion of the food and drink have been offered to the idols of these pagan people, the food from the king's table was dedicated to idolatry, and if they partook in it, they would be regarded as worshiping the gods of Babylon. In such worship, the loyalty to the Creator forbade Daniel and us and his friends to join in. Okay? Even a mere pretense of eating the food or drinking the wine would be a denial of their faith. To do this would be to join themselves with the heathen and to dishonor the principles of the law of God. Okay? We are not to dishonor God. We are not to dishonor his precepts. Okay? The law of God is his character. If we dishonor the law, if we dishonor the principles of it, we dishonor him, the very nature of God. They would never dare to risk the dumbing effect of the luxury and the self-indulgence on their physical and mental and spiritual development. They knew the history of Nadab and Abihu, the record of whose intemperance as it results have been preserved in the records of the Pentateuch, and they knew that their own physical and mental power would be injured, affected by the use of wine. Okay, they would injure themselves. They would injure their mental power. That's why the king is asking for these men to begin with, because they're more knowledgeable. Okay? They understand things. So they wouldn't have been asked, they wouldn't have been brought to him if they didn't already have strong mental power. Remember, Daniel's associates have been trained by their parents to have this strict temperance. They have been taught that God would hold them accountable for their capabilities, that they must never corrupt their powers, okay? As we should never corrupt. We should never give in. This education was to Daniel and his companions the means of their preservation in the demoralizing influences in Babylon, okay? Strong with the temptations, obviously as the same temptations we encounter surrounding them. I mean, look everywhere. They remained uncontaminated, okay? No power, no influence could sway them away from the principles they had learned in early life by a study of the Word and the works of God. That's why parents, we are to train our children in the right way from the very beginning. Okay, we know what the Scripture says. They will not depart from that. You know, if Daniel so desired, he might have found in all this area that he's in an excuse for departing from strictly temperate habits, because everywhere around him they were given into this merrymaking. Okay? He might have argued that dependent as he was on the king's favor and subject to his power, there was no other course for him to pursue than to eat of the king's food and drink of his wine. But he should adhere to the divine teaching. He would offend the king and probably lose his position in his life. And as many of us have to worry about, okay? And not so much worry, because God has taken care of this. He will not forsake those that love him. Should he disregard the command of the Lord, he would retain the favor of the king and secure for himself intellectual advantages, you know, of Babylon. Okay? He'd become what we know as foolishness with God and flattering worldly prospects. To see, Daniel did not hesitate, as we are not to hesitate when we are faced to choose the good or the bad. The approval of God is dearer to him and should be to us than the favor of the most powerful earthly king. Okay? Obama, whoever it is, the Pope, it doesn't matter. Okay? It's dearer than life itself. The approval of God. Okay? We don't care what anybody thinks as long as God approves of it. Then we know we are blessed and we know we'll be there in heaven with him. He determined to stand firm in his integrity. Let the result be what it might. Okay? Let it be what it may be. God, we're not going to take God off guard. He knows what's happening. As Daniel knew, God knew what was happening. See, but God gave Daniel, because Daniel was faithful to him, gave him favor amongst these heathens, to where now he can eat what he wants to eat. He determined to stand firm, okay? Let us stand firm. And he proposed in part that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with which the wine he drank. And this was supported by his three companions. Now, we can see that Daniel and the three warriors already knew that it was better for them, okay, to eat this way, to live this way. But are we going to see if the king, are we going to see if anybody else other than Melzar approves of this and sees it, you know, sees the proof? Daniel 1, verses 19 to 21. And the king communed with them, and among them all was found none like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore stood they before the king, and in all matters of wisdom and understanding that the king inquired of him, he found him 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers that were all in his realm. And Daniel continued even unto the first year of King Cyrus. Brethren, I mean, amazing is this. Amazing is these verses. The king came to inquire, and he found them. Okay, a pagan king found them 10 times better. Okay, we know God found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers that were in this Babylonian pagan empire. We see proof now of the biblical diet. Okay, as we continue to go forward in this study, in these sermons, we continue to move through the scriptures. We find that there is proof that not only is it better, but it's 10 times better. Okay? Daniel had appealed to Belshazzar, the officer in special charge of the Hebrews, you know, the youth that he was with. He wanted to be excused from eating the king's meat and wine. And he'd asked to test be a 10-day trial. Okay? Test us. You know, test us. We don't mind. Put this to a test, as the Lord always does. Okay? To test us, to test our faith. He knew they would pass the test. Okay? Daniel knew they'd pass the test. The Hebrew youth during this time being supplied with simple food, while their companions ate of the king's, you know, richness and luxurious stuff. You know, Melzar, you know, as we read earlier, he was fearful, thinking that maybe it might cause someone to die from this. God still blessed them with favor to continue on in this, okay? Like Joseph, he found favor. And it was, you know, it was found, the results were found opposite of the prince of fears. Their countenances appeared fairer and fatter in flesh and 10 times wiser. You know, and as a result of this, the Hebrews showed a marked superiority over their companions. And as a result, Daniel and his associates were permitted, as I said earlier, to continue their simple diet during the entire course of training. So, what we might think is the toughest thing out there, whatever it may be, brothers and sisters, we can't see the beginning from the end, but if we take God at His word, okay, at His very word, He's not a liar, okay? We know who the Father of lies is. If we take Him at His word, not only and pass and overcome the test or the trial, not only be blessed just simply by overcoming it, but many other things will be open to us, okay? How much easier it becomes. You know, it's like the Sabbath, you know, whatever it may be, if we stand up to those in the Lord that who are trying to demand us to do the things against the Lord, not only will God bless us, but He'll also bless those that see this, and we'll find favor in our eyes that we may continue to do what we can for the Lord, okay? We must stand for His truth no matter what. Now, this test was not the only test that these men experienced, okay? And we're going to read a little further. Were they tested again? Okay, and we know they're tested many times, but we're going to read one more here. Daniel 3:6. And whoso falls not down and worships shall the same hour be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And Daniel 3:12-13. There are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, these men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. And reading on, Daniel 3:17. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and He will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. In Daniel 3:25, he answered and said, Lo, I see 4 men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. And we know who answered was Nebuchadnezzar. Okay? Brothers and sisters, I firmly believe in my heart, and I can see in scriptures where if Daniel and the three worthies did not stand up at the very first test of being brought to Babylon, which was simply upon diet, which was the first thing Adam and Eve were tested on, it's the first thing the Israelites were tested on, you know, severely. This is no mistake. This is what God does. He tests us in appetite first, okay? Because if we can overcome appetite, we can overcome anything, always in Christ Jesus. But if they fail that first test, these men are not able to say, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. You know, and if not, we're going to die. It doesn't matter, okay? Because we're not going to defile ourselves by getting on our knees and bowing to you. We're not going to worship your pagan gods. We're not going to worship you. We're not going to worship Satan, you know, by default, doing these things. These men were able to have that faith, that strengthened faith, because God has already proven that when they stood for the truth the first time, he blessed them with a way to continue to eat that food which was good for them, okay? He didn't throw them out, outcast them. He gave them favor in these pagans' eyes. When we have the right physical habits, this promotes our mental superiority. You know, our mental power, our intellectual power, physical strength, and longevity depend upon these immutable laws. The laws that we don't necessarily see the consequences right at first. It's a process. God has made a tremendous body, a body that was made to last forever. It can take a lot of abuse, brothers and sisters. But let us not be fooled. We will pay the price for this abuse at a later date. Sometimes earlier, sometimes later. We will pay for it. And we may not ever feel that big a deal from it. But we will pay with it, with our eternal life that we will not have, because we will lose that because we are going against the laws of health, which are his laws. You know, there is no happen, so no chance about this matter. Heaven, God, will not interfere to preserve men from the consequences of violating these laws, okay? Nature's laws, the health laws. Again, our intellectual power, all this depends upon this, okay? God always honors the right. The most promising youth of every land at this time was subdued by the great conqueror and had been gathered at Babylon. Yet amid them all, the Hebrew captives were without a rival. The erect form, the firm, elastic step, the fair countenance, okay, showing that their blood was clean, it wasn't corrupted. They didn't have the bad breath. The senses were sharp. So many certificates of good habits, okay? We know that we are to be a witness to others. You know, if we're always sick, it's because we're showing a witness that we're not doing something right. If we're healthy and we can outlast others, we're showing us because we're doing what the Lord is saying, telling us to do. We have to be obedient to nature's laws, which is God's law. None were found like unto Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. The keen apprehension, their choice and exact language, the extensiveness and varied knowledge testified the strength and endurance of their mental capabilities, their mental powers, brothers and sisters. God did not bless this after they had stood for his truth, okay? They were wiser because of it. They were sharper because of it. And it was clearly seen throughout all of Babylon. And even to us nowadays because we're reading it. And even to all the disciples and everyone else. The history of Daniel and his companions has been recorded on the pages of the inspired word, again, for the benefit of the youth of all succeeding ages, and even for us old folk. What men have done, men may do. Did those faithful Hebrews stand firm amid that great trying temptation? Did they bear a testimony in favor of the Lord and true temperance? You know, the youth of today may bear a similar testimony, even if the circumstances, the times we're living in, is not favorable, okay? They would share the example of these Hebrew youth for all who will, may, like them, enjoy the favor and blessing of God. Brothers and sisters, again, I thank each and every one of you for gathering here. I hope that these sermons, I hope that these words have been a blessing to you. We'll continue on a short time later, a couple more parts. It is clearly evident that, as in number two and number one, part studies, that when we disobey God, he allows the consequences to come to us for doing that, okay? Which is death, disease, misery, and worst of all, separation from God for the rest of our life and eternal life, okay? But we see here, thankfully, more and more with Daniel, with Elijah, and with the widow, and the three worthies with Daniel, okay? That when we stand for God, when we have that faith, when we endure the temptation and deny ourselves, you know, indulgence and appetite, and when we put all that behind us in favor of the Lord's work and helping out his fellow people. I mean, Daniel carried great prophecies, great and deep prophecies that we studied this day that weren't open until the end days. This man was given this because of his faith. And it started with the denial of the king's meat and wine. It started with that. Because if he would have went and corrupted himself with that, he'd have been blotted out. Okay? We probably wouldn't be reading his words. So brothers and sisters, again, I pray that each and every one of you may have a blessed Sabbath, continued Sabbath, a blessed week to come, and let us forever be moving closer to the Lord and overcoming. I just pray for this, and I thank each and every one of you and love each and every one of you. God bless, and amen.
If you can kneel, please do so. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for blessing us with the truth and giving us a desire in our heart to not only embrace it, but to walk in it. Thank you for keeping us safe in these days ahead with your strong hedge of angels around us. As it gets more and more intense, we see the strange weather, we see the drought, we see the animals and the birds and the fish and the insects dying, we see the volcanoes, the earthquakes, the strange political events, and the floods, and the strange twisters, and it's just, even snow in South Africa, where it's just getting crazy out there, and we know what's going on. And bless us with an opportunity to share our faith so that the loud cry gets louder. And for those of us that are doing the work, we pray, Father, you bless us. Keep us safe as we do it. And bless those that help us do it, too. And those that aren't doing it, Father, please open our eyes so that we do as you have called us to do. Because faith without works is dead. Thank you for all these things. And we pray in the name of your Son, our Savior and our King, Jesus Christ. Amen.